Charlie, so sorry about Mr. Fink's passing.
Yeah, we're awful sad about it, Steve. He was a true sportsman, and the ride that horse took us on, Wise Dan, was incredible. And he was a gentleman and a scholar throughout the whole campaign of that horse.
You know, one of the first things that we remember was how he acknowledged that, you know, during dialysis and during, you know, the health issue that the late stages of his life, that the horse was keeping him alive. It was giving him something to look forward to.
Well, that's exactly true. He was a real fighter. What he went through, and he used to tell me that all the time, you know, it's the only thing that I have to look forward to. And boy, I'll tell you what, he just enjoyed every moment of talking to me about the horse and where we were going to run next, and just the arrangements to be made when he ran, what he had to go through to get there. But he was always so positive about it. I mean, I laugh and tell people all the time, the biggest concern he had was, where were we going to have dinner the night after the race? Where were we going to make reservations? Where were we going to eat at?
Well, the way in which everything came about is also as amazing a story as could be written, because, you know, he had been around the game for an extended period and then had kind of wound down his interests, but he ended up keeping the one mare and the series of stallions that she visited, you know, to produce this horse, Charlie, was just, I mean, miraculous.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. It is a miracle. I mean, I never, first of all, in my wildest dreams, ever thought that I would train a horse of that caliber. And Mr. Fink was the same way. He never, like he always said, I haven't had anything like this in 40 years, and that's how long he's been in the game. We were so grateful for the horse and where he took us and what he did. I mean, it's just, like you say, it's just a dream come true. It's almost it's hard to believe the ride that horse took us on. And who would have ever thought that I would have my hands on a horse like that and do the things that he did?
He, you know, even though I never had the opportunity to visit the OTB at, you know, that's at the corner of the property at Arlington, the trackside OTV, he was a legend there. All kinds of friends I have from Chicago that would hang out there. I mean, he was a party, really, and basically I said held court there on a regular basis. And so when this horse started to take off, it there were just so many people that were enjoying it, through him.
Yeah, he loved to go there. He loved the game. He loved the bet. And then, you know, this horse came along, and like you said, he was a regular there, and then the people started flocking there to him. And, I mean, he had just as much fun, I think, on a Saturday afternoon, even when Wise Dan wasn't running, being there and talking to people about him and, you know, betting. And owners like him are gone. You know, he had a true passion for racing. That was his passion. I mean, that's what he liked to do. He was a better, as well as an owner, as well as a sportsman. I mean, he liked every part of the game, and we need more people like that in the game.
How did you connect with him? When did that come about?
Oh, Steve, you know, when we started Forest Lane Farm back in, let me try to get this right, in the early, blah, 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 probably 90s, very early 90s, Barry Ezrine, who runs Patch and Wilkes Farm, kept Mort's horses. And we started breaking some horses for Mr. Rosenthal, who owned Patch and Wilkes. And then Barry told Mr. Fink about us. And that's how we started breaking babies. We got acquainted with he and Roy Gottlieb. They had a lot of partnerships together. So that's how the whole thing started. And then when that Caroline Farm dispersal happened, he just kept Lisa Danielle and a few of the mares, I mean, a few of the babies. And we broke Successful Dan and Wise Dan, and you know, he said, you know what, Charlie, I'm just gonna let you just keep those horses, you just keep them there in Kentucky with you. I don't know why he did that, I don't understand, but I tell you, I'm glad he did. And you know, first came Successful Dan, and then when Wise Dan came along, you know, Successful Dan was plagued with a lot of setbacks, but when Wise Dan came along and we started to get going with him, I mean, I told him how good I thought he was, and he said, oh, Charlie, there's just no way he could be that good. You know, I own Wiseman's Ferry. We've had so many of those Wiseman's Ferry's babies that we broke. And anyway, it's a funny story, but I mean, that's how the whole thing got going anyway, through Barry Ezrine at Patch and Wilkes Farm. And we were just fortunate that Mr. Fink left those horses with us to train.
Who, before Successful Dan, you know, there was one other stake, kind of a stake horse, who won a couple hundred thousand, who was a daughter of Roy, our Royal Dancer.
Yeah, we brought, you know what, God darn it, the older I get, I forget things, but we had all those horses. Amy can tell you more than I can. Her memory is a lot better than mine. But yeah, Wild Roll Dancer, and I think we had a horse named Boss Zach for those guys. And I mean, we had all that family. I remember we had Mr. Prospector for them, a colt that, I mean, we go back a long, long ways. But I mean, it just, they were great guys. I mean, they, you know, they were true sportsmen. They cared about the horses. Time off was never an issue. Revenue was never an issue. You know, you had to do this to make this. None of that was, it was always the horse came first. Even when we were breaking them and we had, you know, horses that may have gotten hurt on the farm, or horses that, I think he had horses with Steve Morgulin, and he had horses with Bruce Levine. And yep, a lot of times those horses would come home for a layup and come to us. And he was always, both of those guys, they were just like, give them all the time they need. When they're ready to go back, we'll go back with them.
And I think who trained Guided Tour for him?
Ooh, I believe that was Niall O'Callaghan. I believe.
How about that?
I'm almost positive that's who it was. I mean, he's changed trainers along the way, you know, for one other reason or another, partnerships or whatever. But I'm almost positive it was Niall O'Callaghan that trained Guided Tour.
Because he was a good horse. That was. Yeah. I mean, that was the first horse that I remember, you know, seeing Fink's name was Guided Tour.
Well, and he owned part of Wiseman's Ferry too. That partnership.
Yeah. But I mean, as a, just with his name alone on the ownership line, I think.
Right.
That's right. Was Guided Tour. We had him on, and you were on the line. We should try to find that interview. I mean, he was so much fun, and our hearts go out to Elaine and his wife, and he was just so engaging. And you know, it's funny because people should, for those that don't know, he was in the entertainment business, and owned, you know, he owned movie theaters, he owned amusement parks, and he, you know, he was like a Jewish Walt Disney. I mean, he was.
I tell you, he had a lot of fun with that horse. I mean, we go, you know, the places that we went and the things that we saw, and that horse always rewarded us every time we brought him over there. I mean, he just, Oh man, how in the world we were lucky enough to get a horse like that. And I mean, he was perfect. I don't know how else you could describe him.
You know, you think about the when he got sick, and there was an uncertainty about where things were going to go. And I remember asking you, or maybe it was just you saying afterwards, you know, that he didn't owe us anything, and you know, if he's not up to it, then we'll give up, you know, we'll shut it down. And I remember we had that kind of a conversation, and he and Mr. Fink was the same way. He was like, you know, we don't have to push him. If he's not the same, we don't need to keep going. And then all he did was pick it right up where he left off.
Yeah, that was, you know, that was incredible. I mean, that horse had the colic, and we did the surgery on him, and then we laid him up here at the farm and started him back. And right before I went to Saratoga that year, we breezed him a half mile, and you know, that was going to be the starting point to see how he handled that, and he did good. And then we took him to Saratoga from there, and we just steadily went up the ladder. And you know, a couple of his breezes weren't stellar breezes like everybody saw Wise Dan put in, but it was by design. I didn't want to push him. I just wanted him to go along slow and steady. And I remember the comments, well, maybe he's not the same Wise Dan, and blah blah blah. Anyway, I worked him with another horse one day up there at Saratoga. The fella had him where I wanted him, and I wanted to test him a little bit. He just worked phenomenal. I can remember all the people, oh my God, he's back, he's back, he's back. And he just, that was his best year. He was so, so good that year. I mean, I know he's had incredible years, but he was probably as good as he ever was. And I was so disappointed that we didn't get him to Breeders' Cup that year, especially being on his home track at Keeneland.
Now, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't anything that, you know, anything that was going to happen. Mort Fink just was, you know, he was satisfied with whatever was going to occur. And he gave you, you know, it's one of the reasons I keep reiterating that this is the kind of owner that every trainer dreams about, because you've got a free hand. And if something was wrong, you weren't going to get pushed, you know, whatever you saw, he was going to be accepting just the way it was going.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that I think that's the big thing that made Wise Dan what Wise Dan was. There was never any pressure on me. Well, I put enough pressure on myself, but it wasn't from Mr. Fink. I think, you know, stuff flows downhill, and I think if you don't get pressure from an owner, then you just pay attention to your horse and do what's right for your horse. And I never was afraid to call him and say, you know what, I just don't know if he worked good today. Maybe we ought to look at this, or maybe we ought to look at that. I mean, he was so good that way. I mean, every trainer should have owners like that. I mean, they're just, those kind of guys are gone. There's not many of them around anymore. You know, I talk about him in the same light as a Bob Lewis. I mean, those guys, they were all about the horse. They were all about doing what's right, and they never interfered or never second-guessed you. And that makes your job, I mean, it's a hard enough job keeping these horses going, but that makes your job a lot easier, having guys like that to work for.
Now, the two press conferences after the Breeders' Cup wins at Santa Anita, I can see him sitting there and the smile and the satisfaction, you know, and really the surprise. I mean, I think that's what was so pleasurable for him was, you know, to that late in life and that late in the arc of horse ownership and breeding, It always feels Mrs. Genter is another one that kind of fits that mold.
And
Paul Mellon with Sea Hero, and there's been so many of these that the culmination of life's work.
Yeah, the satisfaction, that you get at the end of your life or the end of your racing career, to have a horse like that, and when you breed them, and you don't buy them, and you raise them, and you go to modest stallions, that's what this game is all about, and that's what gives people hope, gives the little guy hope that, maybe he can breed a mare to a modest stallion and come up with a wise dam. There's no exact science in this game, Steve, and you can spend millions and get nothing, and you can spend thousands and get something, and I think that's horses like Wise Dan and stories like Mrs. Genter and Sea Hero, some of the things you're talking about. We need more stuff like that in racing today instead of all the bad publicity that we're getting, and we need more owners like Mr. Fink that are true passionate about the game.
Just listening to you talk, when you talk about mares and modest stallions, Fred Bradley, Fred and Buff.
Yeah. There you go. Just is another story. Look at the ride that horse took them on. Little trainer like me, didn't have a whole barn full of horses, and small time owner. And when I say small time, I mean those people put a lot of money into the game, but I mean they're modest about what they do, and all of a sudden, boom! Here comes a horse like that.
Well, the Kleins. You've been the Kleins.
Yep.
Throw in the Burton Elaine and Richard. Same exact story.
Same story. I've had them all. I've worked for some. I tell you, I can go down the line of the owners that Amy and I've had over the years, and they're all of the same caliber. You take the Lewises, and you take the Kleins, and you take the Finks, and you take Mrs. Arnold, who had Tour Allure, Mr. Fink. You go on and on. They were true sportsmen.
Well, we're sad to see Mort Fink go. However, he absolutely got a lot of extra years, Charlie, thanks to what you and Amy crafted when he brought Wise Dan to you guys. I mean, he'd be the first to say, he'd said it many times that it kept him going, and then it kept him going even beyond then.
Yeah, and most of the credit goes to Wise Dan, I'll tell you. I mean, all we did was care for him and point him in the right direction, but most of the credit goes to that horse. He was just an incredible athlete. There's so many. Somebody should write a book about him, because there's so many stories, so many things about him that people don't know, and the people that he came in contact with, and even after his racing career, the day at Old Friends, when he was there at Old Friends, and the people that they gathered to see him, and the way he interacted with the people. That's the incredible thing. That horse was, he, you probably heard me say this, but he was almost human, and he really was. I mean, he was just horses like that. I don't know. I don't think I've ever been around one of that caliber, his intelligence and his athleticism and his will to win. And Johnny Velasquez will tell you the same thing about him. He said he knew how to win races.
Just earlier today, it's funny you use that expression, because earlier this morning, in hour one, Bob Tiller, talking about Pink Lloyd, said the exact same thing about like a almost human, just a horse that kind of elevates a horseman's trust in the equine gift. It elevates everybody.
Yeah, they're just different, I used to, every time I ran him, maybe if he got a bad post position, or we thought it was a bad post position, or I was worried about this or that, I can remember Johnny said, "Oh, don't worry about the one hole. He knows what to do." Johnny, he just said it more than one time. And Johnny's been on a lot of good horses, and I think he's a great, great rider. I don't have to say I know he is. And he's, you know, he said it more than one time, best horse he's ever rode was Wise Dan.
Remind us too, I pulled up the PPs, and a lot of people probably will have forgotten the origin. I mean, that early on that he won the Phoenix on the dirt.
Yep, he did, and he was pushed into Breeders' Cup Sprint, and Rafael Bejarano rode him in the Phoenix, and then he rode him in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. And I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe he got beat a length and a half for all of it, or two lengths for the whole thing.
Yeah. Big drama romped on the front end with Ibar. But, yeah, the rest of you were Amazing Destiny, Smiling Tiger, Supreme Summit, Warrior's Reward, and Wise Dan and Kinsale King were all, not Kinsale King. You were four lengths clear of Kinsale King. It was a neck, a head, a half, a neck separating those the second through fifth.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, yeah, he just got off the layoff. I mean, I ran him in the Phoenix. I know everybody thought I was crazy, but off the layoff, that horse was training like a monster. And we ran him in the Phoenix, and he won. And, you know, we've been always wanting to stretch him out. I mean, that was our goal, to stretch him out. And then we wound up in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, and now we ran him again in November, the end of November, before we put him away.
Yeah.
And I think he won that race. Was that not a mile or 7 furlongs, Scott? I can't remember.
That was, looking here, that was a mile.
Mile, that's right. And he won that race, and then we put him away for the winter.
And came back in the Commonwealth.
And he wasn't, his 4-year-old career was not, in the beginning, was kind of a spotty career. We were all scratching our heads and what to do with him. I mean, he got beat in the Commonwealth. I think I ran him in the Alishiba, and he got beat there on the front end. Then we ran him in the allowance race, and he got beat in the allowance race. And then we tried to get him in on the grass, and the two other than on the grass, and the race didn't go, and we wound up nominating him to the firecracker only because I wanted to breeze him on the grass. And we ran him, and he won that race, and that's when he elevated. From there on, he just went sky high.
And that was the last time we were going to get $30 from him, too.
I'm sorry about that.
It was all over. If you didn't get 14-1 that day, the lights were out, and people might forget. John Court wrote him at that point.
That's exactly. Yep. John Court, Julian Laferrue wrote him. You know, he had a bunch of riders, and when we ran him in the Clark after the race at Keeneland, Julian had to go to California to ride Never Retreat, and I'll never forget this. I called Angel Cordero, and I said, "Angel, is there any chance?" I didn't know. I mean, I never have hardly talked to Angel Cordero, and I said, "Angel, is there any chance that Johnny would come and ride this horse?" And I guess he looked at the tapes, and he called me back. He said, "Yeah, we'll come." And Johnny was like, "Are you crazy? We're not going all the way there to ride that horse." And after Johnny got off of him, he was like, "I'll never take off this horse ever again."
Well, and for those that forget that too, he wins the Clark. He beats Mission Impassable flat out. Mr. Mardi Gras, Ruler on Ice.
Yeah.
Prayer for Relief, Stately Victor. And then, some general quarters. He beat McCarthy. You couldn't have been too popular with McCarthy, because every time he tried to do anything with general quarters, you were there to beat him with Wise Dan.
Oh boy, I didn't mean to do that to anybody. I never knew. I just wanted to bring him over and hope for the best. And I tell you what, he rewarded me every time I brought him. Every time.
Well,
I hope I get another one like that. My time's running out.
No, it's not. That's not even close. We weren't going to miss a chance to pay homage to just a wonderful, wonderful contributor to the sports history in Morton Fink, and laid to rest today in Arlington. Yeah. And you know, thoughts to Elaine and the children and grandchildren, and may his memory just always be a source of comfort. Got to ask you too, Charlie, while we're together, you got fact-finding. You're going to try to win another Clark on Friday.
Lord. I don't know. You know, that he's, yeah, we're going to try. It's been a rough couple of years, been kind of slow, but it's a tough race, but he's done well. He's won two in a row, and, you know, we're going to give it a try. Johnny rode him. I got Johnny to ride him at Keeneland for me, because Johnny used to ride the horse before. And first thing Johnny said to me when he came in the paddock, he said, "Let me tell you, this horse was cut out to be a really, really good horse." He said, "I mean, he was cut out to be a really good horse." And when he won on him, he said, "Charlie, you know, he seems like his old self. He seems like the way he was." And I said, "What do you think? How far will we go?" He said, "I think you can go as far as you want with him if you get the right ride." So. You know, it's coming down to the end of the year. That's a big step up, but he's doing well. He actually breezed this morning. So fingers crossed, hopefully he'll run well for us in that race.
You know, it's interesting, too. I mean, Bart Evans, who we know, of course, from Wasted Tears,
right.
He owns with Robert. And how did this all come about?
I've known Bart. Bart's been a good friend of ours for a long time. I knew back in the early years when I played polo, I knew Bart used to come to Lexington, and he was really good acquaintances with Bruce Hundley. And that's how I got to know Bart. And, Wasted Tears actually came to my barn at Keeneland. The year she won the stake there, he spent some time there with me in my barn. And Bart just gave me a call one day. He was downsizing and was going to send a few horses out that were left. He sent one to Mandela, and he sent Fact Finding to me. And I think Mandela's horse I can't remember that horse's name, but one out there in California. And this horse is, you know, won two in a row now. And Bart's a great horseman, very good horseman. I mean, he was in the Polo Hall of Fame, if people don't know that. He was a world-class polo player. And he sent that horse to me. And I tell you what, he was in great shape when I got him. I mean, he bought him out of the sale, sent him home and gelded him and gave him some time off and brought him back and sent him to me, and about a month after I had him, I ran him, and he was second first time out. So, you know, he's a good guy, Bart. I've known him for a long time, and he's another really good horseman.
You know, and you mentioned, it's funny, because I brought up Wasted Tears, and that's why it was fresh in my mind, because on Saturday, the horse that Mandela has, the sibling, or the colt out of, I think is a 3-year-old. Never Easy is the name.
Yep, by Candy Ride. Is that right? Am I right?
I got the chart here somewhere because I saw it this morning. It's crazy that this comes up, and I didn't even, when we started talking, I hadn't even thought about Fact Finding, and it just, you know, it occurred to me that you were in, and when I pulled up Wasted Tears, I realized that I had seen, you know, a progeny over the weekend, and there it is.
Yep.
Yeah. One on Saturday, and one nicely at Del Mar for Mandela.
So that's his second win, then, I guess, because he broke. I think he won about a month ago. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, second. He's got two wins. Yeah, two wins. He broke his maiden.
Yeah.
Broke his maiden at Santa Anita on October 20th, and now 5 week, not even 4 weeks plus later, now has got back to back wins.
Yeah, well, maybe Bart's horses are headed in the right direction.
Well, the mare, I mean, that mare was she was a running bitch. We talked about her a bunch of times. She must have won 10, 12 races.
Yeah, you know, I remember her in my barn. Bart brought her there, and he prepared her for that race in my barn. She's a really good race mare, real tough race mare.
Wasted Tears. Well,
isn't that funny? Boy, that would be something. If Fact Finding can do good, and that horse just won again, Well, Fact Finding's already done good. He's won two in a row, and that horse has won two in a row, so hopefully we'll keep it going.
Charlie, what's your plans for Thanksgiving? You and Amy, what do you got?
We got a little homebred colt of our own that's going to run Thanksgiving Day. He's been a little bit of a project, but he's in an AO then on Thanksgiving Day, so we'll probably go up there and run him and then come home and have dinner with the family.
I love it. What's the homebred's name?
Oh, Frank and Jimmy. He's named for two people that come from Oregon and help us break our yearlings, Frank and Jimmy Dominguez. So we named him Frank and Jimmy. He's not going to be a good horse with a name like that.
Well, and here it is, actually. I got the PPs. Frank and F-R-A-N-K-N, Jimmy spelled with a Y, J-Y-M-M-E. So it's It's not Frankenstein, it's Frank and Jimmy.
Yeah, they're some really good friends of ours. They're ranchers out in Oregon, and they come back every year in Nevada, and they come back and help us break our yields. Actually started Wise Dan, Successful Dan, Here Comes Ben. I mean, I can go back and back. They've been helping us for, I don't know, that better part of 15 years now.
Nice. Well, now I see that you also got, you're in the 8th and the 9th on Wednesday. Lessons from Avery and Urban Insight back-to-back.
Yep. Yeah, let's hope they show up. Lessons from Avery's a nice filly. She had a little setback, and we ran her one time at Keeneland, and she just ran an okay race. Hopefully she's ready to crack. And Urban Insight, she showed some brilliance from time to time, but she's one of those kind that throws a good one in and then not so good one, and you scratch your head about it.
Charlie, I am, even under these circumstances, the passing of Morton Fink, always a delight to get you on here and talk about old days and new days as well coming up. And it won't be long that next year's two-year-olds. You must have some babies on the farm already.
Well, it's pretty quiet. You know, I don't, it seems like, and I'm not crying in my beer, don't get me wrong, but the small mom-and-pop operations like Amy and I have, they're dying out. It's really hard to compete with these guys in the younger generation of trainers and a bunch of divisions that they have. But I'm okay with that. I've seen some really good times, and you never know where another one will show up somewhere. Look at what Bart sent me. You know, and here we are
exactly.
In the Grade 1 Clark, just an opportunity to be in a race like that. That's all I care about.
Charlie Lopresti, everybody, and always I take you all the way to noon. We could talk for another 20 minutes to close things out, but I'll let you go. Charlie, best wishes. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you, and thanks for thinking of Mr. Fink. That means a lot to all of us.
My pleasure. It's one of the important obligations that we have on the show is making sure everybody understands the kinds of people that make the game as great as it is. Charlie Lopresti and Morton Fink. Let's take a break. Our last of the morning. Come right back.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
At the tracker on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Biff on Sirius XM Radio.
I race my feet, I miss a beat from my seat. Don't care, get off my back. I make a sound, I wash down round, so round, get off, don't touch my stack. Pressure outside, just hit me high, cause I'm about to crack. 1, 2, 3, turn around. Watch me now, just turn around. Touch your knees, don't look, just turn around. Do it now, you make me count. For 1, 2, 3, turn around. Watch yourself, why don't you turn around? Can't you see I don't need you around? Do it now, walk right through that door.
We're back at the races. Charlie Lopresti. For... I suppose you've heard this for those that have listened for a long time. When Charlie Lopresti kind of, you know, burst on the scene, I mean, that's how people would think of it. He had actually, you know, been around forever. And, it just so happened that one year at Churchill Derby week, it was opening night, I think, or opening day. It might not have been at night yet. And the Kleins had a winner, I think, of an allowance race, what really ran a big race. And I could tell that he was kind of a horse going someplace. And so I went down to the paddock, or down to the winner's circle, and I started, you know, pestering Richard Klein to maybe write a story for Blood Horse. I was doing some stringer stuff with Blood Horse. And as I'm getting the backstory, you know, I said to who, you know, where do you get your horses started? And he said, Charlie and Amy Lopresti. And I wasn't familiar. And so he gave me Charlie's number. Next thing I know, I'm talking to Charlie and Amy, and I put their stuff into the story. And then a couple of years later, here comes Ben, I think, was really the first to emerge. And I already had, you know, I had contact, and I had a relationship with him. And so it was really fun to, you know, that period where just one good horse after another, you know, between the Dans, Successful and Wise, and he mentioned Tour Allure, the worst beat in the history of the Breeders' Cup. No, not the worst. There's been some other ones that are just as bad, but that was a bad one. That was a bad beat, as bad beats go. But I was looking forward even under the circumstances. Mr. Fink passing, I knew we could have a really good conversation. Charlie Lopresti. Hey, right now, opportunity to get Mary Rampolini in here for a few minutes. And Mary is joining us. Good morning.
Hi, Steve. How are you today?
Mary, good. And happy Thanksgiving. And let me get that in there.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours as well.
Well, I reached out to you because if I didn't do it today, it's going to slip through the cracks. And given that there's a replay tomorrow, it sets things up beautifully for Wednesday at Zia Park. This is some card they put together.
Yes, big day for Zia. It's the Land of Enchantment card, and it's seven open company stakes. And, of course, the big two races are the Zia Park Derby and Zia Park Oaks, and those are each worth $250,000 and each being run over a mile and a 16th.
There's a just top to bottom, and when you look at all the divisions between the championship, that's 150,000 mile in the eighth, and some very familiar names, including looking at Lee's 8-1. You've got Diodoro in here, Justin Evans, Boquilla Island, then the Derby 250,000, which closes out the card, and Final Jeopardy, who's now with Greg Tracy, and who else? Sleepy Eyes Todd for now is actually, there's a few of these horses that have changed hands since we saw them last, but Asmussen has got Bankit, the New York Bred, and Tone Broke in here. Talk a little bit about this Derby field.
Yes, and you know, as we're speaking, Steve, we are going to see some scratches. Everybody will want to know to look for some scratches, and there's a couple of reasons for that. The biggest reason is there'll be nine horses that have either
Remington.
They're based at Remington Park,
no.
Right? Yes, so we're going to see some scratches due to the equine herpes virus situation at Remington. Just three, I should say, three confirmed cases, they are isolated. The horses in a separate barn. One was euthanized. Two are isolated. Oh. So there is hope at Remington that they could see the end of their quarantine December 5th. But in the interim, New Mexico is not accepting horses from Remington. So, therefore, we will see Bankit, Sleepy Eyes, Todd, and Tone Broke, unfortunately, come out of the Derby. And we will see Lady Apple come out of the Oaks.
Wow.
As a result of that, Steve.
Well, Lady Apple coming out, she would have been 2-5. So Lady Apple opens up things for everybody else that's in the Oaks, and that includes Baltus with a pair, Motion Emotion in there with Mario Gutierrez. Horologist out now with Baltus as well, and Jerry Hollendorfer, Calf Moon Bay. The three become the three major principles, and really the three of them will vie. And of course, you take out the Asmussen horses and Sleepy Eyes Todd, that'll open things up there too. Well, Final Jeopardy, of course, from earlier in the year, bubbled to the surface at the time for Jason Service and for the Wests, and became sort of a secondary consideration with Maximum Security. And then Phil Hall trained up in the Northwest, up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Redicop, the Redicop's buying Final Jeopardy, and that was with the Canadian Derby in mind. And now with Greg Tracy, and looks like he's been there for at least one workout. You get the sense in here, Mary, that he was sent, you know, to Greg just to prepare for this spot.
You know, you make an interesting point, because I know Mr. Redicop is a very regular on this day and has had a lot of success on this day. So they really do target and come into Zia and run. He's a very interesting horse, you point out, and a little bit under the radar, I would think. So very nice coming in from Hastings, and I do think he's an interesting horse. And like I said, the Redicops have regularly come in here and had success on this Land of Enchantment Day.
Well, speaking of success in New Mexico in general, Todd Fincher and Joe Peacock, Sheriff Brown in here, the Curlin Gelding.
Yes, this is Runaway Ghost's half-brother,
yep.
Younger half-brother, right? So we remember Runaway Ghost from winning the Sumlin Park Derby a year ago, or I guess it's been two years ago, right? Two runnings ago, or a running ago. And yeah, he's a kind of a promising horse. He got his little prep in, as Todd said the other day, with that allowance over the track, ran a good race. And he's the kind of horse that probably will like this added ground that he's going to get, being the Curlin. And his dam was a very prominent stakes winner in New Mexico. So
now, moving back a race as well to the championship handicap, I'm going to guess now this means that Looking at Lee's not going to be able to come, correct?
You are correct, yes. And so, also, I should mention, for those handicapping as we speak, Net Gain is another horse that's based at Remington. So the Zia Park Championship will lose Looking at Lee and Net Gain.
Clint Stewart, of course, for Net Gain. And that still leaves a nice size field of nine. Diodoro probably will send out the favorite, Sky Promise. And Sky Promise benefits from this by moving into two gates.
Yes, that's right. Yes, that is something that will be in his favor, and it'll kind of be nice. He's seems like he's coming into this race well. Just talking to Robertino Diodoro, his trainer, he really, you know, liked it. He really closed very well. He came rolling really, really quickly last time. So I'd like to see him follow up and, you know, run another big race here. So ran well over the track, I guess I'm trying to spit out here.
Well, and speaking of running well over the track, there happens to be a horse on this card that I'm delighted to see, because I didn't get a chance a couple of weeks ago, Mary, to mention the Turf Paradise performance in the Luke Krybosch Memorial of Chief Cicatrice, the six-year-old Munnings gelding for Sean Davis and Roy Evans. And he comes back in here. He's 3-for-3 in his career at Zia.
I know, pretty amazing, huh? He looks very tough in there, and that's a good race. There's some nice horses in there, but he does look very tough in there. And like you said, I think it's important, the race over the track at Zia, the fact that he's come in there and run well, you know, in the past. I think that's really a good thing. I think that's, you'll see a couple of them that are interesting that have that in their favor.
Diodoro
on Wednesday.
The Silver Ride in here, and certainly some people will remember Silver Ride from last year, and they missed some time, dropped into a 62.5 claimer and got swiped by Diodoro, and new ownership involved in here. How about the two-year-olds, Mary? I see a short-priced favorite that is actually is another favorite that's not going to make the trip. The Steve Asmussen-owned Bubba Bling. He's Remington-based. He's not going to come.
You are correct. Yes, Steve. He is one of those that will be a steward scratch due to the New Mexico directive not accepting horses from Remington. So, yes, so I guess that brings us, to five here for the Zia Park Juvenile. I think the Phillies race is the Zia Park Princess. Is an interesting filly, I will tell you, from the Texas side of things. G-She Sparkles is a filly that they freshened after she won a division of the Texas Thoroughbred Futurity. She's undefeated. And I'm kind of looking forward to seeing her run Wednesday and see her get back in action. She's an interesting filly. And I will say that Wasabi Girl is not
affected,
that's right, because according to the Zia Park Racing Office, she shipped in from Churchill, and she's there at Zia. That's what I was told earlier this week. So,
well, Wasabi Girl, actually.
She shipped in from Churchill. Yes, yes.
Well,
right.
And she comes out of an allowance win in September, and it's kind of fortuitous that she stayed at Churchill. This is a Winchell partnered purchase, a Shanghai Bobby filly that's. You know, two wins, 2 seconds. She's 7-5 on the morning line. And I think you did. You narrowed right down to the two, you know, major players here. G-She Sparkles for Danny Pish, a race day filly that came out of the Texas mix sale. How about that? And 67 buyer in that Lone Star win.
Yeah, she gets a good measuring stick here with Wasabi Girl, who obviously is the horse to beat, you know, so.
Yeah, fair enough. For the Asmussen barn, looks like one of the few that he's actually going to be able to run. Let's take a look at the Distaff, Mary, too. Is she out, too, that Mount Brave?
Yes, yes, and she was an she's an exciting filly, I should say. She's an exciting filly, and yes, unfortunately, she will be a scratch as well.
Wow.
Again, the Remington angle is all we're talking about here. So,
well, for those keeping track, this was a filly that was a little bit late to the races and who has made steady progress. Is a daughter of Wild Gams. Who mm-hmm. was a multiple graded stake winner, of course, and is by Malibu Moon. She won the Flashy Lady in September, end of September at Remington, and may be stepping forward here as she is about to turn the corner to become a four-year-old.
Yeah, she's an exciting filly, obviously, going forward, as you said. I haven't had the opportunity to talk to Steve Asmussen about maybe alternate plans for some of these horses because so many of them are, you know, very interesting horses on these cards. So many of them were favorites in these races, and I'll be interested to see what they do. I know Remington has a big day of stakes December 15th, and I'm curious if some of them might fit into some of those races. So we'll see. I mean, that's just me thinking out loud.
Unbelievable. Well, unfortunately, everybody will sit tight for another 10 days or so at Remington. And Mary, I know you covered, and I'm glad that I just thought of it, you covered the Delta Downs Stakes from over the weekend. Friday, you had the My Trusty Cat, High on Gin, and this was notable. Carl DeVille. And this was Fury Cap Corey's first stake winner as a stallion.
Very nice, yeah. And, boy, she looked good doing it, too. She just, High on Gin, just pulled away. So she was very exciting. You know, she's a nice filly. I mean, I think that's two stakes wins for her, right? So she had the Louisiana Downs was her first stakes win, the Happy Ticket on the turf, and then now she's accomplished on dirt, like you said, as well. So big filly for him.
Really nice. And then in the boys' race on Saturday, Jack the Umpire, a Bodemeister colt, I'm just wanted to see. It was, is High on Gin? No, she's actually a Florida bred. And boy, she's a May foal. Boy, she's accomplished a lot in a short period of time. How about that? And Jack the Umpire is a Bodemeister for Brett Brinkman. Won the Jean Lafitte on Saturday.
Yes, and, you know, he's an interesting horse, too, because, well, that's two really strong wins for him there over at Delta, both at two turns, Steve, because, as you well know, the 6.5 is a two-turn race on the 6-furlong track there at Delta. And both strong wins there, and they're excited about him. He is a Kentucky bred, but his mother was a really good Louisiana bred. I think she won about 9 stakes, and she was a real racehorse. So they're real excited about his future. I look forward to catching up with him and seeing what plans are, what Brett Brinkman has planned going forward for him.
Well, it is that time of year where Mary Rampolini has to cover 9 different tracks from New Mexico to Louisiana, and Sam Houston on the horizon as well. So much more. Well, Mary, I appreciate it, and happy Thanksgiving. I wanted everybody to be aware of the Zia card on Wednesday.
Yes, thank you. And Stevie, that's a nice pick from there. I'm going to look forward to see how some of those horses you pointed out ran.
There you go.
So looks like a good card. So,
Mary, thank you so much. Great to catch up.
Thanks, Steve. Happy Thanksgiving.
Mary Rampolini, everybody, who's got the best tires in all of racing media, because she covers, you name it, she covers it. Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, it's amazing. Arkansas, she's everywhere. And we've been everywhere today, from Canada to Zia. Unbelievable, from Woodbine to Zia. I want to thank Johnny, of course, with the big Thanksgiving visit, as always. Tom Albertrani, Bob Tiller, Charlie Lopresti, and Mary. Back tomorrow, we'll have Thanksgiving conversation with Chef to the Stars, Neil Kleinberg, Andy Serling, much, much more. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.